We're in our second week of our sermon series on the book of Nehemiah. It's also our campaign series that we're following along with. And last week, Pastor Dave did a great job of giving you some historical background and the beginning of the journey. And today we're going to pick up with where God's dream finds a willing heart. But before we get there, I wanted to thank Mike for being our liturgist this morning, the choir for ushering in us into the very presence of God, and for you. I'm grateful for you to be here to give up time away from this beautiful day to dedicate yourselves to growing and nurturing and loving God. With that being said, I invite you to take on a posture of prayer before we open up Scripture. Heavenly Father, we call on the power of your Holy Spirit to come now into this place and open our ears, our minds, and our hearts to receive the whisper of your voice and the blessing of your word. We would pray that the meditation of our hearts and the words of my lips would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Coming from Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, if you have your Bible with you, I encourage you to open it. I will be going through the text today and going back to the text, so I invite you to open it up. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was served him, I carried the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before, so the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This can only be sadness of the heart." Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my ancestors' graves, lies in waste, and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to God of heaven. Then I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor with you, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my ancestors' graves, so that I may rebuild it." The king said to me — the queen also was sitting beside him — "How long will you be gone, and when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a date. Then I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, let letters be given me to the governors of the province beyond the river, that they may grant me passage until I arrive in Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, directing him to give me timber to make beams for the gates of the temple fortress, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall occupy." And the king granted me what I asked for the gracious hand of God was upon me. Then I came to the governors of the province beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent officers of the army and cavalry with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard this, it displeased them greatly that someone had to seek the welfare of the people of Israel. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So today, the dream finds a willing heart. And I think before we get to really discovering the willing heart of Nehemiah, we really have to understand what he went through prior to this crucial conversation. Last week we found in chapter 1, verse 1, that he began the prayer and fasting process in the month of December. In today's text, we find that it's now April. So he has been praying and fasting for 4 months. The heart, or the theme verse of our Taizé service, is "Be still and know that I am God." Within our Taizé service, the structure is basically this. We open with prayer. we read a verse or two from Scripture. We allow 5 to 6 minutes of silence, and then we respond through song. And this happens 3 or 4 times before we actually talk about God's Word. 5 or 6 minutes of silence. I want to put that into perspective, not only our Taizé service, but the 4 months that Nehemiah prayed and fasted. So if you would, close your eyes, and we will be silent for 30 seconds. Are you ready? Go. Time's up. Is anybody uncomfortable by that 30 seconds of silence? Now imagine, if you will, 4 months of praying that a crucial conversation can be had with a king, praying that, as Mike read the scripture, that even a king's heart is pliable in the hand of the Lord, praying that it's not just a dream, but it can become reality. Praying that it's not just a bad falafel, but the reality of what God is calling us to do. 4 months of being on his knees, praying, planning, preparing for this very moment, for this very crucial conversation. Praying and fasting, I believe, is the basis for any endeavor that is inspired by God. Think about Jesus himself spending 40 days in the wilderness praying and fasting. Here, the very Son of God, who can take 2 loaves and half a dozen fish and feed 5,000, praying and fasting, not falling into the temptation of turning a rock into bread just to feed his own hunger. Praying and fasting, the basis for any endeavor inspired by God. And that's why we're in the midst of 40 days of praying, to discern God's will, to discern and make sure that it's not a bad falafel, but the reality and dream and vision of God. So we get into this 4th month, and by now, any faithful follower of Christ or God is going to start to have doubts. Wouldn't you agree? Come on, God, haven't you heard my prayers yet? Can't you just make it happen? And then, in an instant, his faithfulness changes. Doubt starts to creep in. And for the first time in 4 months, the king notices something different about Nehemiah. And the king says, "Why are you sad?" You see, up until that point, the prayer life and strength and character and integrity of this faith-filled follower of God had not been shaken. He was serving the king with honor and duty and respect. But in a moment of weakness, in a moment of doubt, possibly, his sadness showed up. And because he is who he is, and he's beloved by the king noticed. "What is that sadness going on?" he says. I love the vulnerability of Nehemiah in that moment. Here he has been praying for an opportunity to have a conversation with the king, and in the moment when it happens, he admits, it says, "Then I was very much afraid." It's like, oh no, it's time, right? And he shares his heart, knowing that the king had the potential or the ability and authority to have him beheaded if he wanted to, right? But it was a moment of truth, a moment of faith, a moment where God was present in the conversation. A crucial conversation that Nehemiah had been planning and praying and hoping for 4 months. And he admits that he was afraid. And he shared his heart with the king. And in that moment, we see the reality of Proverbs 21:1 coming true. That a king's heart who was made to rule, who was comfortable with ruling nations or ruling people and being good at it and probably hard and, you know, offering his understanding of justice, became pliable in God's hand. The very heart of someone who Nehemiah feared became tender to the moment. And in that tenderness, the very first thing that Nehemiah does is he responds in what he had been practicing for 4 months. He prayed to God, God, give me the words. It's in the text, it's right there. And I prayed to God, to the God of heaven. And then he started the crucial conversation in the way that all crucial conversations should start. He started with a compliment. May you live forever, King. Who doesn't want to hear that, right? He wasn't buttering up the king. He was honoring the king. He was respecting the king. He was saying, may your reign be forever. I value you. And then he asked for some time off. King, I need an extended vacation. I got some work to do. Oh, and by the way, I need it to be a paid vacation. And in that moment, I think there's a piece of the text that can easily be overlooked. But being married, I know that I shouldn't overlook it. And it's that part where it says, the queen was also sitting behind him, or beside him. Not behind him, beside him, right? Why is that crucial? Well, if you're married, gentlemen, you know why. Because what happens was the queen probably reached over and grabbed the king's arm and gently squeezed it. Pay attention now. Be tender now. In my younger years, it would have been a kick underneath the table from my wife. Not too long ago, it would have been firm fingernails. Anymore, it's just a look. I can't do it as well as she can. But I believe a man with dreams needs a woman with vision. I think it's important not to overlook the fact that the king's love, his queen, was right there in the midst of all of that, saying, be tender to what this man has to say. The vision of ruling the kingdom, you have to have the support of the people. Hear this man out. And as Nehemiah begins to unveil his plan to the king, his calling by God to go and leave his service to the king, to go and rebuild, the king listens intently. And when Nehemiah says, I need to go, the king responds, I'll let you go, but when are you coming back? You know, that kind of reveals how important Nehemiah was to the king. He wasn't just ready to let him go and be done with him, but he wanted him back in his service. And again, Nehemiah's response is a reflection of the prayer and planning of 4 months' time. Because in that planning process and praying process, Nehemiah had taken the time to calculate the needs, to calculate how long he would be gone, to calculate what it would take to get there, what it would take to accomplish it, and how long it would take to get back. So Nehemiah gives him a date, but he doesn't stop there. He's like, well, give me 6 months, I'll be back. You know, it's April, you do the math. October, I'm close, maybe. Right? And then he says, oh, and by the way, King, I'm going to need a passport. I'm going to need a security force to enforce or secure my safe passage. And the king's like, okay, I can do that. Oh, and one more thing, King. I need your credit card. Right? That's what he was asking for. He wanted a letter. He wanted a line of credit in order to go to the forest and get timber. I can remember in 1993 when I had this dream of starting a construction business. Maybe I was a little naive, I'm not sure, but I went to the first bank, and I won't name the bank, Huntington. it slipped, I'm sorry. And I said, you know, I have this dream. I want to start this construction company. Will you give me $40,000? They laughed just like that. I said, where's your business plan? Well, it's up here. Said, no, sorry. So fortunately, somebody put me in touch with somebody else that could help me understand what a bank wanted. And I sat down and wrote a business plan and some projections and costs and so on and so forth. And so I went to another bank, which I won't mention, National City. And you know what they did? They gave me a line of credit. They believed in me because I had done the planning. Right? Nehemiah had spent 4 months in prayer and planning for this conversation. He presented the king with his business plan, and the king signed off on it. The king signed off on it. And what that means is when there's proper planning, it can lead to action, and that action of faithful followers of Christ can lead to radical generosity. I think about that king. He had the opportunity to say, I'll grant you the time away. I'll even grant you a passport, but you're not getting my Visa card. He believed in the plan. He believed in the mission that in the heart of his servant, and he chose to respond with radical hospitality. Generosity. It's amazing. I truly believe it's amazing that this story, that this dream that God has placed on Nehemiah's heart can even take root. And it's all because it's based and founded in prayer and proper planning and knowing that everybody's hand is pliable in God's hand. Everybody's heart is pliable in God's hand. Everybody, from the king to the servant and everywhere in between. Now, does that mean we won't face adversity? Of course not. Nehemiah faced adversity. He has the passport, he has a security force. He has the Visa card. And the first governor he reaches is very displeased, right? I think about that as we are in our discernment process for the future and vision of SUMC. I think about those who say how crazy it is to consider a build when the average United Methodist worship attendance is at 63. I think about that as people think it's too costly. I think about that and I say, it's God's dream. And if we don't do the construction right away, I'm okay with that, because maybe we're like Ezra, called to build up the spiritual house before we add on to the brick and mortar. Ezra went before Nehemiah for that sole purpose, to build up the house of God, to put the discipleship programs in place so that when they fortified the walls, they would have a place to go and worship. There will be adversity. Ezra faced it. Those same governors that were causing obstacles to Nehemiah had sent letters to the king discouraging the king's support of Ezra. They could have done the same for Nehemiah. But this time, the difference was Nehemiah had the support of the king. And so that leaves us with the question that I posed at the beginning, maybe not a question, but a statement. I believe that God's dream always finds a willing heart. And so I wonder where your heart is today. Is it a willing heart that is ready to embrace the need for prayer, for planning, for generous, radical generosity? Is your heart in a place to join with God's vision for the future, to come to realize that people matter to God in a world where kings are shooting missiles and testing the waters, and drug addiction is at all-time highs, where brokenness abounds? Can it be that there is a dream far greater than that? A dream of hope? A dream of healing? A dream of a place where people can come and be rescued by our Lord? A place where kids can come and play and learn and grow in safety? A place where the disciples are being discipled, studying the Word of God in a small group, serving the community, mentoring kids at risk in the schools, serving kids in our foster system? If you're tired of hearing that, I wonder if your heart is part of God's heart. Because these people matter to God. These children matter to God. And we have a time and place to be in prayer before God, to allow our hearts to become pliable, to see what God dreams for the sake of His kingdom. Would you pray with me? God of our hopes and dreams, we pray that we would be pliable, that our hearts would be pliable in your hands, that we're not acting on indigestion, but ultimately desiring to follow your will. We pray that the plan that we are praying about is a plan that's viable and doable for the sake of building your kingdom. And if those plans have to be put on hold, reveal to us the work that still needs to be done. Building up our infrastructures, creating more ministry opportunities, ways to serve. Help us move beyond our own selfish desires for the sake of love. In Jesus' name, amen.